listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 10, episode 26. I think I'm right in saying you're welcome along to this week's show. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners this season are Bar One Betting. Should be a quiet podcast this week, guys, I think.
Hopefully so. I think we're into hour 100 of Brandy Well Watch at this point.
I was actually going to ring you last night and say, I think we need to do an emergency pod. But then it dawned on me, can't really do an emergency pod when you haven't actually done the pod yet this week. So maybe I'll be on to you tomorrow when the latest developments from the Brandywell, when they seep out into the media. But it's been a mad couple of days. I mean, only last week on the pod, I thought you made a really good point. We were talking about James McLean's social media antics, and that kind of really seems like an age ago now. But you made a great point. Like, it'd be so sad if this is how he's remembered, how it all ends. And now a week on, and here we are. You basically have Derry City saying, you're not fit to fulfill your function. We want to let you go. And McLean turning up a training today, whatever. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it all. But if that had been the end of him, if he didn't go to the training today, and if he doesn't play another match for Derry City, it is a desperately, desperately sad way for it all to end. But unfortunately, I get the feeling, and I'm sure you're going to tell us the same, he's not going to get a lot of sympathy, even from people in Derry at this stage.
Yeah, I think, I think it's just been a real bad period of time. I know that's not the most insightful of comments to make, but, I think you have to separate it, but also it's hard to separate in a way. Like, you're looking at Tiernan Lynch and what his abilities were. And then, you know, probably my initial thought was, Jesus, how did he last as long as he did? You know, he got a window. And then you think, okay, is this going to resolve the James McLean, or at least partways resolve the James McLean issue?
And I think a lot of people falsely read that last week. They saw Lynch go and they were like, oh, player power, the power of McLean's won the battle. As I always felt that decision was made. I don't think it had anything to do with McLean stuff that was going on. I think what's happened since proves that. I think this is an entirely separate issue, because the point I made on last week's show was McLean, you know, I felt as unpopular as Tiernan Lynch was up there, I think the way he was treated was terrible. And a new manager, a new manager going in there, if he's inheriting James McLean, he's going to run into exactly the same problems. I said this last week that Lynch ran into. If he looks at McLean in training and says, not this lad, he's not for me, you're not playing, and McLean takes the socials again, we're back to exactly where we started again. So I think the club are right to try and resolve this. But I also think they've probably gone about it the wrong way, and we might get to that in a second.
No, I disagree with either. I know it's a very, very difficult situation, and you know, you're turning it into, you're trying to do what you think is right, as most people do, you know. There's a lot of pricks around the place, but like, by and large, you're trying to do your level best. And I think Lynch obviously made a lot of poor decisions tactically, personnel-wise, you know, 11s and stuff like that. I'm sure Derry fans will be able to pinpoint some insane decisions that might have been made and really serious head-scratchers that he made throughout his time, particularly this season. But James McLean is, you know, there's obviously a lot more to James McLean than just like a footballer coming into the team. You know, if James McLean had joined Longford Town, there wouldn't have been as much about it. But it's the son coming home. And that obviously makes it a bit more of an issue. So I think it was always going to be difficult. I think probably, look, obviously we don't know the ins and outs and who did what and who said what at what time, but it seems like they got off to a bad start, if that makes sense. You know, that he was being played out of position, trying to fit a lot of lads in.
I think eventually it'll all come out in the wash at some stage, I'd like to think, but there's a lot of questions to be answered. That's the first one, that change of position. Whose decision was that? Whose idea was that? Because it never worked from the get-go. Was that Lynch? Was that McLean? Like, McLean has obviously made the comments about, you know, a lot of promises were made, etc. Was he expecting to play in a different role, a different position? So that you're right, it did get off to a bad start from the get-go.
It did get off to a bad start from the get-go, but also, if, like, James McLean was put into a position where, or like, if you're looking at it from the, as we are from the outside, James McLean, right, he probably has to play. You know, he has to play the first lock of games.
Mm.
You know, he can't sign James McLean back to Derry City and then he's up in the crowd taking pictures with children with the game going on. That, you know, that's totally not allowed. But then also, Lynch has his own ideas about what he wants to do and how he's going to do that on the pitch. So he has to try and fit in a heap of lads into a team. And it wasn't working from the start. But also, I'm sure Tiernan Lynch was there, you know, sitting on the John going, you know, the day before a game. I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this because I'm already under pressure. I've signed James McLean. I don't know how I'm going to fit all of these boys in. And then, like, you have, like, Roddy chirping up out of him. And you're like, Jesus, this fella hasn't been in the game in 10 years. Yeah, he's still getting all the, you know, headlines about what he's saying. And it's like, yeah, that's all true. But Tiernan Lynch actually has to do it. So he was probably hamstrung. He was, you know, had a, you know, death warrant out as soon as the season started. I think James McLean has not helped the situation. I would be way critical of him as well.
Yeah, just to be clear, when I said that I felt Lynch was badly treated, I don't necessarily mean by the club. I mean by McLean.
Yeah.
In terms of hanging his manager out to dry in public, I think a lot of people would feel that Lynch didn't do a good job and he deserved to go. But for
That's indisputable.
Yeah, that is indisputable, 100%. Yeah. For a player in his dressing room to be airing dirty laundry in public, I felt that was really poor form for a player that's been in the game as long as McLean. So I just want to clarify there in case you took me up wrong. I don't feel that Lynch was unlucky to lose his job or anything like that. I feel that McLean's conduct towards him, where he openly challenged the authority of the manager. I know he didn't name him directly in any of those posts, but everyone could see through the lines there.
Yeah, a blind man would see it.
Yeah.
But the point, but then on the other hand, you know, what was said? How many meetings were had? Like, I don't believe, right, that James McLean has, you know, this fella, you know, he hasn't been like, you know, a choir boy, sitting quietly in the corner, you know, doing 6 out of 10 every game without any fanfare. He's played 100 games for his country. He has achieved stuff in the game. Let's be straight about it. So I don't envisage that this is the first time. Now, I'm sure James McLean fanboys will be able to tell me about all the times he was right against managers in different clubs in England and down through the years. And that manager was an egot and James McLean was right. There's plenty of them out there. I don't believe that in his more experienced position that he is now, having looked back throughout his career, and I guarantee you, he's gone, geez, I made a ball to that situation. Jesus, I was wrong. I can't believe I said those things, you know, 10, 12 years ago. I don't believe that he doesn't have the skills to resolve a situation with the manager because it's Derry City. It's not just another club. Do you know what I mean? There's way more skin in the game. He's like the local boy that has done well. And, you know, I saw a post there earlier about, like, you know, contributes to charity and does work for charity. All in Derry, has, you know, been good to the town he comes from. And I don't dispute any of those things. And I'm not saying that they were for bad reasons or anything like that. I genuinely believe that he has great care for it.
Yeah.
But But this is what he has also contributed significantly to this situation. And now the club has been like, well, now we have to get out of this. This is a nightmare. And now, you know, you mentioned that, but what, like, that he's not fit to play or whatever comments. I don't know. Like, we can't even really attribute them to the club specifically. But if that's what's been said or been reported elsewhere, and then we have like James, will he show up for training? And we have a gaggle of reporters live streaming the gates of the Brandywell. Like, who ever heard of that? And then now we're like, oh, Jesus, we don't know what actually is going to happen. It seems to be a real, really poorly handled situation that should have been nipped far earlier in the book.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to earlier when I said that I think the club here in a lot of areas has got this wrong. There's still a lot of questions to be answered. Again, we talked about the manager there. Did the manager sign him? Was he thrust upon the manager? We probably will never know now until Lynch maybe does an interview somewhere down the line. The medical, I wonder, did they do a medical? Was there issues raised in that medical, but was getting the son of Derry home to the Brandywell more important than maybe concerns that maybe the doctor had? I'm just speculating. I don't know that is the case. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot. If Derry are now saying, as is being reported, that this lad is not fit to fulfill his duties as a footballer, you know, he only signed for them, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, but he also played 20-something games for Wrexham Lad before he joined. So, like, he couldn't have been crocked.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Unless, like, he got crocked in between playing all those games.
I think there's questions there about that, about the medical. But I think, above all, Derry, they probably have a lot of reasons. They have plenty of reasons why they should probably get rid of McLean, no more so than his antics this season. But for them, from a report I read today online, in a reputable source, I can't remember which paper it was, so I'm not going to wrongly say it, but they were saying that, look, the club have said he's not fit to fulfill his duties, but that needs to be confirmed by an independent doctor, independent of the player, independent by the club. And from the article I read today, they claim that that assessment has not yet taken place. So how can you try and terminate a contract on that basis if that assessment has not took place yet? So I think they've handled it entirely wrong.
Yeah, but also, like, you can't just terminate a player because he got injured. You know, he could have got injured today at training.
Yeah.
You know, so like, that doesn't really fly with me. And I'm not sure a club with the experience of Derry, you know, would be saying those things.
Well, you said the experience of Derry. This is the same club a couple of seasons ago when Drogheda were kicked out of Europe. They would have benefited from the extra European place, but they didn't bother their arse to put in for a European license. So I think for all the money they have, I think there's a lack of expertise. There's a lack of structure around that club off the pitch.
No doubt about it. And, you know, they hired Mark Connolly as a director of football to maybe, you know, steer some of the ship. I don't know how good of an appointment that is. I have reservations of his playing capacity, as evidence on this pod over the last couple of years. But, you know, you have to make the best fist of it as best you can at the time. You know, the best time to plant a tree was 40 years ago. The best time is now. The second best time is now. I think from, if I was a Derry fan, and, you know, I know there's a lot of fans up there that bleed red and white. I would do anything for the club. There's plenty of them up there. We've met loads of them.
Yeah.
I think they must be just really gutted at the state of this.
100%.
Like, we can talk about Tiernan Lynch and James McLean and all the rest of it, but to get him back... I remember the jibber jabber. Oh, is he coming back? He's coming back. Oh, we don't know. And then it's announced, and it's just all rosy.
Mm.
And for it to be gone to shite
in 6 months
by August,
yeah,
is just a right kick in the stones. Like, whatever. Yeah,
let's say he wasn't. Let's say he's not fit to play football anymore. I am sure if he had conducted himself with a bit more grace over the last number of months, surely there's an ambassador job there for life. There's come to the Brandywell whenever you want. Be a mascot. Do whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Derry City, his own hometown club, can't get shot of him quick enough. So I think...
Well, we don't know that just to that extent. But the question I would like to ask James McLean, and by God, you know, if you say the wrong thing on social media, he'll definitely come on top of you, as we've seen last week. I think... You know, maybe I'm being too pro the club, but does James McLean not want the club to do well? Does James McLean not see how this is just bullshit for the club to deal with?
Mm.
Is this not damaging for the club? Like, you know, I've often said, when no one gives a shit about Roy Keane anymore, he'll be there in Cork or wherever he lives, and, you know, he'll be playing with his dogs or whatever. I'd be like, Jesus, I could have had another World Cup. There's no question in my mind that he will say that to himself, because all the shite about Saipan and all the rest of it will be irrelevant bollocks. And it is irrelevant bollocks already, but he could have had another World Cup. Not saying that all that went on was right. I don't think it was right. But, like, he could have had another World Cup. James McLean could have had, I know it's not the same scale by any stretch, but he'll look back on that and he's like, Jesus, coming to the end of my career as an old man, could have had one last really good go with Derry. Manager wasn't right, but he's now gone and we're still at this bullshit going on.
Hmm.
You know, and like, you know, that the shite that he mentioned on the World Cup when he was on RTE coverage or whatever.
Yeah.
All that stuff, bursting children on Instagram and Twitter and whatever. Like, is this any Derry fan going, this fella's a bollocks. What's he doing here? I thought he would be, you know, the talisman coming back and he might drive Derry forward. He might, you know, might have won more than, what, 8 games that they've won this season or whatever. I think it's sad, really. It's a right old mess. I think, you know, a lot of people look back on it and be like, you know, well, that was a disappointment, especially from, you know, the highs that they thought it would be when he was signed back at the start of the season. Okay. I don't really know where it goes from here, to be quite honest. I don't really care either. I think it's just a mess of a situation.
I think there will be a termination, but I think it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them a pretty penny.
Okay. No, I know it's kind of different now because of the strength of the financial strength of the owner.
Mm.
So it's, you know, but like, is that what James McLean wants to be remembered for? Signed a 2-year deal, plays like shite, makes a bollocks of it with the manager. Makes a bollocks of it with the fans, and then takes out a heap of money on exiting.
Mm.
That's a real bad checklist of stuff, as you're
really bad. Yeah, yeah. I think there's faults. I think there's faults on all sides. I think McLean hasn't conducted himself well. I think Derry definitely been shortcomings from the club, and obviously the manager had a very bad time while he was there as well. So really, just to put a cap on it, it has been a dire, dire season for Derry City Football Club.
Yeah.
And it'll get worse if they go out with the cup to UCD on Friday.
Yeah.
It's their last chance of salvaging their season, really.
It is. And like, you know, they won their game against Sligo, which we said was a bit, could be a banana skin, probably being a bit kind to Sligo given their current predicaments. But like, you know, UCD are going into this, you know, chest out. You know, they haven't had some good results of late. But I think, I don't know if you remember, I was at John Russell's first ever game. I think it was his first ever game in UCD when UCD were still in the Premier Division.
Oh, all right, okay.
A beautiful summer evening. I think they drew 2-2. And I was like, Jesus, this fella has a job in his hands. Because, you know, UCD were like the whipping boys or almost whipping boys that season. I think it was the year they went down after they squeezed by
Waterford in the playoffs.
I think it was that season. I can't rightly bloody remember, because they played each other twice in two playoffs
in a row,
if you remember. And, you know, they have, I know there's a lot of turnover, you know, with players and stuff like that. I think they probably had Colm Whelan and Kerrigan firing on all cylinders at the time, and Derry aren't Sligo, or Sligo weren't Derry. But, you know, they have nothing to fear. They'll be ready to go. Looking at a team that's doing bad, poor enough against expectations, but also have all this grief going on. So,
yeah. We'll probably talk about
it. Wouldn't mind being in a Derry team for that one.
We'll probably talk about the race for Europe later in the show. But I did just say there, it's probably winning the cup is Derry's last chance to salvage their season. But they're actually only, they're only 4 points behind Dundalk. And I think a lot of people are talking to Dundalk fans in Tala the other night that they feel that Derry will come with a rattle now that Lynch is gone. Now that may be harder with all this noise and this smell hanging over the football club, but if they can get that resolved with the quality that's in that squad, surely they improve on what they've done. I mean, 7 wins in 27 league games is absolutely deplorable for the level of resource that Derry have.
Just on that, like when you think, you know, like there was so much talk, I'd say, about James Clark, for example, like, where's he going to go? You know, there was a bit of like him and Hahn, UK, I think Scotland in particular was mentioned a couple of times. I think, did he go on trial somewhere? That sounds familiar to myself. And then, you know, ends up at Derry. Okay, fair enough. You know, good, probably decent contract. James McLean, Michael Duffy, there's a few boys knocking Aaron around.
Markey.
Yeah. What's his name? Connolly gone at the back. You know, you probably
say Carter came in.
Yeah. So, like, you know, there was backing given to Lynch. Like, there was a lot of, like, positives that you could have marked. And then it's just all in a heap. Mad.
Yeah. If that wasn't enough drama over the last few days, I thought this was what we would be opening the pod with until all the McLean stuff kicked off last night. But unfortunately, I didn't get down to the Midlands Derby on Friday, but I had time to go up to Tala. Very enjoying
you
the game.
You went to Tala? I said to one of the lads, did Barker go to Tala? He was like, oh no, he wouldn't do that.
I couldn't make it to Athlone in time. I could make it to Tala in time.
Garbage.
Very enjoyable game, and we might talk about the game in a minute, but obviously the spat that has broke out between Kieran Kilduff and Stephen Bradley had been dominating the headlines and the news cycle until McLean reared his head yesterday. But look, I know you've been on the record on this pod quite consistently in the last number of seasons that Bradley is a fan of talking nonsense. I'm going to step back from this discussion because I'll just be, if I give my opinion on the whole thing, I'll just be accused of Dundalk bias. So I would like to get your thoughts on Bradley's comments and Kilduff's comments and anything else you want to give us your opinion on.
Yeah, well, look, you know, it's, I think over the last number of years, Bradley has really gotten a free ride from the media, sports media. You know, I think all the way back to when that Lino got something thrown at him in United Park or Head in the Game Park or whatever it was at the time, and you know that was never mentioned really at all after, because the game was stopped. I remember getting a few text messages. I think you might have been at that game. You were?
Yes, I was. Yeah,
and I remember you texting me that the game was paused, you know, while that was being resolved. And I remember like kind of looking out for, you know, a bit of commentary about it, or, you know, surely to God, like, Bradley will be asked. And
well, I asked him. I know you asked him,
but like, you know, you have a day job on top of this podcast. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not your bread and butter. And it was definitely something that I always remembered that, like, you know, a real easy question to ask would have been like, you know, God, jeez, Stephen, like, that was shocking what happened to Linesman, and just give him an open goal to condemn it. Never really happened. Not really, I don't think he said much, if anything at all, about that fan running onto the pitch there the other day. Sorry, like those are things that are going to be commented on. But then to get like a free rein to like just like spew pure shite. You know, worst tackle in this and on that and the other. You know, could have been killed levels of stuff. If you remember what Alex Ferguson said. Ferguson.
Yeah.
Was that on Van Persie? Was it
Van Persie? The ball got booted into his head. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He could have been killed. You know what I mean? Like, that's the level of, you know, and I'm sure Alex Ferguson looked back and I was like, that was funny. Like,
yeah.
But like, I wouldn't say Bradley would think that. And, you know, there's an element. Yeah. You protect your player and you know,
he did leave him on the pitch for 15 minutes after the tackle.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, questions have to be asked about how interested he was in that. He had all the subs were made, so like he did have to make a decision. But like, if the lad can't continue, he can't continue. And you know, the player comes first. So, you know, I'm sure if he was going on about, you know, minding the player and player safety and player this and player that, and I love the player and player God and all that shit, but he still leaves them on for 15, 20 minutes or whatever after this challenge. Like, I've seen worse challenges in a few children kicking around in the grass outside. Like, I've seen worse challenges than that. I'm not saying it was okay or anything like that, and ref should have dealt with it. I don't think he even gave a yellow card. Is that...
No, the whistle had gone, you see.
Oh, yes, but he could still give out cards.
Mm.
You know, the whistle is gone doesn't mean that... You know, free rein, you could just loaf a player and, sorry, ref, you blew the whistle. it's all fair game. It's not the case.
Unfortunately, the ref wasn't fit to do much on Friday. It was a deplorable performance from Rob Harvey.
Yeah, well, look, we've seen a few of those, even at the first division level this season. Well,
it's not the first bad game he's had this season. We've talked about him a few times on the pod. I don't like to hang refs out to dry, but I mean... I know I've raised this point several times. Look, we have a very small pool of officials. It's hard to drop lads if they have a bad game. I wouldn't exactly be advocating for that. But when you have a level of performance that was so, so low from Rob Harvey and his team of officials as well, because some of his assistants were poor as well, there has to be consequences. He should not be refereeing a game this weekend. I don't know if he's got an appointment or not, but it was a terrible, terrible performance.
Oh, is there, just while you say that, is it from the tackles or... You know, did you just think it was a penalty or
people? You'll when I say this to you, you'll say that never happened. This happened. The game kicked off, and I'd say there was only 2 minutes gone, and he had already given a few bad decisions. I turned to herself, I said, this ref's already on one. I said, he's already lost control of the game, he's having a nightmare already. We're only 2 minutes in, and then he gave Rovers a penalty. Now, I haven't seen it back, it happened in front of me. I didn't think it was a penalty, I could be totally wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought he set his stall out from the get-go that he was having a stinker of a night. Ed Durbin made a rugby tackle at Carl Chambers' Waterford job.
All right,
Ed Durbin did one of them, didn't get a card.
Wow.
But Harvey had time to go over Buck Bradley and Buck's assistant, or Buck with one of the coaches. I think the assistant had already been sent off at that stage. The two managers were both booked before half time. I think that tells you how poor of a night the referee had.
Like, I wouldn't that wouldn't be much of a barometer for me, to be quite honest. Particularly like Bradley and Killer, like, they're not exactly, you know, shrinking violets. That wouldn't be, you know, you open this part of the podcast me saying, you know, quoting me saying that, like, this fella's been talking shit the last number of years. So, like, I'm sure he's doing it to refs and everybody else around him that'll listen. I think refs having a bad game, particularly, like, if you're mentioning, like, rugby tackles, you know, that will say a player like A. Durbin has to do, being a midfielder, and he probably has a few boys going by him. To a degree, you know, Watson, Jack Byrne, whoever was playing, I don't know the starting 11 or the 11 at all, but like, you know, you're going to have to like throw in a few of those tackles. A could have been on a yellow card at that point. Was that?
No, he wasn't. No, he didn't get, I don't think he got a card in the game, which was incredible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, you know, you're trying, like, on one, is he trying to keep 11 players on the pitch? It's like, well, you can't really do that.
No.
Like, there was two identical penalties. It was in El Clasico. You wouldn't have seen this. But the one for Dean Williams, no yellow card. and no attempt to go to the ball, so it should have been a red card. Taylor McCarthy gives away a penalty in the second half. Both penalties were saved by respective keepers. Taylor McCarthy actually goes for the ball and does trip up your man, but gets a yellow card. So, you know, one should have been a red card, but it was actually giving us nothing.
I think I'm fairly sure in saying that the penalty Dundalk got, the defender, he pulls the Dundalk defender back by the shoulder. Penalty given, no card given. It's just these basic things that were, were a constant theme throughout the game. But look, we've kind of gone off topic. That was the ref. He had a bad night. He probably contributed a bit to the madness that went on. But just to put a cap on this, I suppose, Kilduff fired back. Get off your ivory tower. Was that the
something line, along those lines? But you know,
like, did he, in your opinion, did Bradley go over the top describing it as a coward's tackle?
Yeah, he did. Like, lots of shouting and roaring. Like, you know, ref mightn't have blown that hard. You know, who knows? Like, fella didn't hear it. Maybe he did. Like, but then to like go on about the player, like the way Bradley did, like coward's tackle. Did he say? I think it was said on the Killer article that that he achieved nothing in the game or something like that. Is that?
I'm not sure. I did see the full one, but I can't find it now at the minute, so I can't confirm whether he did say that or not. But even I thought the way he spoke, he kept saying the left back. He knows his feckin' name, Bobby Burns. I thought he was speaking in a very condescending manner after the game.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, if you're that enamored and that annoyed about a particular tackle, you know the guy's name. But like, you know, it's probably, you know, you think back to, you know, it's not obviously as good as, what's his name? Joe Brolly and Sean Kavanagh all those years ago. Iconic television. And, you know, at least, you know, Joe Brolly went on about it and it was great watching, but he was probably wrong. And I think he did apologize to Sean Kavanagh in the aftermath of that. But like, I think it's just what was that to achieve, really? Like, it was, and I think where it's coming from is Sean Bradley, you're a great fella all the time. Sean Bradley, wonderful, the best man, best manager, best fella. And like, similar to Joe Brolly, as he ended up, like, he's, you know, you couldn't listen to him now, because he's never been told that you're an actual bollocks. Do you know what I mean? He never got, you know, taken down a peg or two. So if, you know, Bradley has had the same, you know, I can go back to...
I've been critical of Bradley having a constant war of words with Heimer in the press. I don't think that's really... I think this is the first time someone has come back and challenged him since Duffer. Do you remember Duffer's line? He said... That since Bradley was invited to the doll, he seemed to think he could comment on everything.
Yeah, that's true. Because the boy, as I mentioned already, I've been critical of many times before. No, I never challenged on anything. It's just, oh, you're dead right. God, tell me more. Tell me again how right you are. And it's none of that stuff is ever challenged. I know it's not exactly easy to. Easy to do, but like, you know, surely there has to be some of that stuff been caught by hair. Hold on a minute there, pal. What are you saying? That's not right. That's wrong. Or at least some type of chirping back, rather than just going, yeah, Stephen, you're a great fella. And that's all that he has heard ever. Or the last, like, since COVID anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to go back 10 years when it's not working out. Banners were up in Tala and Longford Town were baiting them in Tala. I think every game that year for an opponent was a cup final, I think was one of the famous lines. But like, he hasn't got any of that. And also, just saying that, he's an incredibly successful manager. Let's be straight about it. Won everything. So I'm not, you know, there is grounds for it, but like, you can't just be like, oh, tell me what you think, Stephen, and I'll print it. That's going to lead to those types of comments. So you know, he was happy to go out and call that lad, Bobby Burns, a coward this and a coward's tackle and could have been killed and a career ender or whatever other garbage he came out with, and no questions asked. So he's going to do that. If you haven't been questioned, if you haven't been pushed back to any extent, there you go. And just I had momentarily forgotten about the Heimer stuff. That's exactly the type of stuff you're going to get when all of that stuff is just, yeah, love it, love it.
Word on this. Probably no bad thing to have a bit of back and forth between some managers. You've been looking for this, not enough of this type of stuff going on. Now, maybe that took it to the extreme in certain I do think one thing, thankfully, it did help to do was take the attention off that idiot that ran on the pitch and tried to confront Daryl Horgan. I don't think that's a good image for or a good headline for the league at all.
Hold on.
See what the repercussion for that may be.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Just from a league point of view, as a league, someone that wants to see the league do well, that is a really bad image for the league. So I'm glad that something did take the spotlight off of it, but that doesn't mean that the authority shouldn't be, that they should be taking the spotlight off it. They should be looking into what happened there.
They should be looking into what happened there. There's any amount of security running around that place.
Yeah.
You know, he can't stand there. But a lad was able to run onto the pitch. I don't think that we can just take the attention off that. Like, yeah, we can talk about the image of the league, but like those stuff that type of thing has to be rooted out. And you can't root out that stuff without highlighting it. A few weeks ago, wasn't there a Derry lad that ran onto the pitch and went to loaf the keeper?
Yeah, in the European game. Yeah.
In the European game. Like, you know, there was crowd trouble at that. I think, you know, we don't want to turn it into, you know, the cages that we see on the continent for away fans or something like that. Like, there has to be a bit of a balance brought into it. But, like, that type of stuff has to be highlighted. It's just, you can't just go, oh, yeah. And, like, a press release from the FEI, that's what they do. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to start bursting onto RT News. We find them 10 grand for that player, for that man running onto the pitch. That's not going to happen. The FA can only do so much. You know, it's, I've often said that, you know, we also have to look around. Like I think it wasn't, you said a few years ago, like, you know, you're, just because you pay 15 or 20 euro into a game, you can't just turn into a rabid wild animal. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you know, and then like, you know,
well, again,
and drive home, you know, and, you know,
there was loads of online, like the likes of Twitter has just gone to complete shite, but, you know, comment, oh, Daryl Horgan, what's he doing celebrating there? He incited them, you know, as if this is a reason for a lad to try and assault a footballer. Like, it's.
Yeah, and we want more of that. You know, Daryl Horgan should have ran into them. You know what I mean? Like we want more rustling. Rustling is good. Do you know what I mean? Like, Longford Town fans the other night were rustling or roaring everything at Kyle O'Connor, former Longford Town player. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, I don't know, give the thumbs up or something maybe after the game. That's great. That's what we want.
Yeah, you've won the right to have a bit back there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even I know we mentioned, wasn't a Keith Ward last year up in Park. You know what I mean? Like, well, I can't remember what you said, but he was like, oh, I'm actually older than that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's what we want. Now, I know that's gentle ribbing. That's, you know, that's, you know, introduction to rustling. But we want more of that. And, you know, a lad like Keith Ward will always know the right thing to say. He's an experienced player. He's heard it all before. So that's the crack we want. You know, I'd have absolutely no problem with Daryl Horgan doing whatever, as long as he doesn't leave the pitch. But like, you know what I mean? Cheering and yapping and whatever after scoring a penalty. Because that brought it back to 2-2. So like, why wouldn't you be jumping and cheering? They're a promoted team in Tala.
Yeah. I suppose the other big headlines last week were generated in Europe. Shamrock Rovers had a good 3-1 win, leaves them in good stead going into the second leg. Shell's got a goal. The Johan Cruyff Arena venue me and you have been at, Daniel Kelly getting the goal. So 3-1, they're actually not finished, entirely down and out. You wouldn't know. Look, Ajax have probably never played at a venue like Tulka Park. I'd say their training ground is even a lot more modern than that. Look, if Shells can get the first goal, I don't think that's a runner at all, to be honest. I think Ajax will just come and they'll boss it and that'll be it. But it's nice to dream. Bose will be disappointed, obviously, to have lost 2-0. There was moments in that game where it looked like they might be able to get something out of it. But yeah, go ahead.
No, just saying about Shells, like, why not? You know, look at Pico and whatever. Mm. I keep talking about it. Like, you know, you couldn't imagine the obliteration that they were all going to be on the end of playing Spain and Argentina.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, they'll probably have to shut down the country, the bait that they're going to take. And it didn't happen. They got into the next round. Why can't Shells, you know, Dave Rogers scored that unbelievable goal against, who was it?
Hattrick split.
A split, yeah.
Mm.
Why can't that happen? Why can't Daniel Kelly, you know, put aside all the chirping I've done on him down through the years? Not that he ever known or listens or gives a shit what I say, and he's right to, but also, why can't he peg into? Why not? Why not? That's my point. Why not? try and like throw a face on it. Like, and you know, who knows? Next thing you know, they get two goals and they got brought to extra time and the place is absolutely heaving. And you know, Daley Blin pegs it into his own goal or something like that. Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah. One place that will be heaving tomorrow night is Croke Park, Manchester United against Leeds United, 82,500 sellout, the biggest attended game in the history of the state. There's been a lot of talk about these fixtures recently. Arsenal sold out the Aviva last week against Betis, 52,500 there. Mm-hmm. I suppose we threw up the clip on the BTS Twitter of Dermot Keighley back in the day describing Liverpool fans going to a friendly in the Aviva as morons. Where do you fall on this argument? Are people allowed to spend their money how they want and enjoy themselves, or should these people going to the Aviva feel a sense of shame? Where do you fall on this whole debate?
I don't really give a shit, to be quite honest. I'm sure there's some eager playing in the Tree Arena on Friday night that is playing shite that I wouldn't listen to in a million years. But you know what? Let people spend the money the way that they want and let them enjoy themselves. Would I wouldn't now look to them for any like information about the game or thoughts on the game, make no mistake. But also, like, I think, I don't know if you remember, there was some child in Dublin being interviewed after Liverpool won the Premier League.
Right, no, I don't remember this.
Right, and I think I put the clip into WhatsApp, sent it to you, and the child he was interviewing, and he was nearly crying, and Jurgen Klopp is the greatest man that ever lived, blah, blah, blah. And I think the reporter asked, like, how many times have you been to Anfield? The child said no. And you were straight in going, yeah, typical Liverpool fan, never been to Anfield.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a lot of Irish Leeds fans, would have had access to Sky Sports back in the day. And, there's a lot of other Manchester United fans that have access to Sky Sports for a very long time as well. So, look, it's you know, you often hear about like, oh, how do you find yourself supporting Man United? And like, there's always the story, oh, me father and my grandfather, and used to take a piss in Old Trafford on the way to the mines or whatever. And it's like, oh, geez, it just went to Liverpool and they went to Manchester and nowhere else, and Leeds. You know, no Irish person existed anywhere else in the UK. You know, I never met a Scunthorpe fan, Wigan or Dagenham and Redbridge. I actually know one guy, haven't seen him in years, but he's a massive Sunderland fan because Keno was managing them. You know, that's probably a bit more of a honest summation of why he supported Sunderland rather than, oh, my great grandfather, and he used to send postcards home and blah blah blah, all this other bullshit. An aunt of mine actually went out with Tommy Docherty, who managed Man United for a few years. Yes. Like, you know, I probably have a greater association with Man United than most Irish people. But look, you know, they were paying 50 punts a month or whatever over to Sky and thought it was great. But to answer your question, I don't really give a shit. Like, there'll be the same boys that'll be, you know, on the day trips over to Manchester to see them play, you know, some shite bags in the FA Cup fourth round or something like that on a Tuesday, and, you know, God direct them. I know the premise of your question is probably related to League of Ireland. Should they be supporting their own or whatever? Yes. But also, fine that they don't. I don't really care. Just the last piece about it. It's just a big tourist operation.
Yeah.
Old Trafford.
Terrible. I've said this before. Out of all the football trips I've been on, the least memorable is going to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for Premier League game.
Yeah, like one of my most, I've been to a lot of games on the continent. I've been blessed to go to a lot of big games, a couple of Rome Derby, to name one, which was class. But particularly for the Premier League, like, it is just a tourist operation.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly, like, I don't know if you've not seen, like, all the jibber jabber around, like, season tickets and how people have been done out with tickets and
I think now away tickets, obviously, always like Ireland tickets, it's a loyalty scheme, but apparently now I think a lot of clubs are opening it up. You can, like, buy in for huge money to get into the away end for, like, Manchester derbies and stuff. So, that's eventually going to erode into the atmosphere and just kill it. And I think all of these things have contributed a bit to, like, the last couple of years. I think we've been very positive that there's been a huge turn towards, you know, going out and watching football on your doorstep. And we've seen that with the attendances and the interest in LOI TV and TV audiences and stuff in the league. I think there was an article out this week, and I did hear the lads on the Indopod talking about this. Would you be worried at all? There does seem to be a little bit of a plateau, if not even a drop-off, in League of Ireland attendances. Now, I know the summer months has kind of always been, that's always been a danger in the summer. People go away, holidays, the GA, there was a World Cup on, etc. And I suppose there was always the fear that we would eventually flatline a little bit because, you know, the likes of Daly Mount, Sullivan and Lamb Park, etc., they're not getting any bigger. You can't fit any more people into them. But I suppose you're looking at some grounds now and, like, attendances have dropped off that little bit. Like, even I was just scrolling socials the other day and I couldn't believe Shells had a tweet up saying there was still limited tickets available for the Ajax game tomorrow. Now, when I clicked into it, I was half thinking, geez, I might go because I'm actually off. By the time I clicked into it, they were gone. But that's the sort of event you would have thought, 5 minutes, tickets gone. Have we lost a little bit of energy within the league?
I think to a degree, yes. Like, there's definitely an issue with the race.
And I think I was talking about this a little bit last week as well. I feel like there's been a lack of headlines. Now, this week, obviously, there's been a lot of them. They maybe haven't been the most positive ones. McLean and, okay, there was a bit of juice in the story between Bradley and Kilduff, even if there was an unsavoury element to it. But I feel aside from that, there has been a lack of headlines that have cut through into the mainstream, whereas when we had Duff there, obviously we were getting stuff by the day. And I do feel that the lack of a title race has definitely contributed to that as well.
The one thing I'll always go back to is the head of sport for TG Carr, what he said to you a few years ago about the women's cup games, and that he didn't want to, like, tell 90% of the story and then RT takes over the climax.
Yeah.
You know, that always resonated with me because, like, yes, it is a story. And one of the greatest criticisms of RT's coverage was that they show a few games at the start of the season, piss off for the middle chunk of it.
Yeah.
And then no one has a real focal point of what's going on and miss the story for throughout the year. I think Virgin Media has been a great asset to that.
100% they have, but from what I've been hearing on other podcasts and the like, apparently the viewing figures haven't been fantastic Now, that probably opens up the debate again about, you know, is Friday night the ideal night for these games to be shown? Is there something to be said for staggering these games out? But then are we moving away from what the League of Ireland is about? You know, you hear fans in England giving out all the time, Jesus, I think like there was maybe United or Villa in the last couple of seasons, they might have had 1 3 o'clock game of a Saturday.
Yeah.
All season, and fans are just sick of their tea all 5:30 of a Saturday. We're having to travel down to the here and there and there's no family time. And there was a game Christmas Eve one a couple of years ago. So we don't want to maybe
I wouldn't really be too bothered by those people because, like, you know, most of those people are just tourists anyway.
No, no, this is the actual genuine match going fan in England that's making these complaints. But,
yeah, but they're not talking about United and Villa, like, do you know what I mean? Like, let's be real about it. They're talking about the club that's close enough to them in League One, League Two, going from Timbuktu to on the other side of the country. Like, I don't really care about fan complaints in the Premier League. I just don't really give a shit. I don't want to hear about it.
But I suppose Friday night has become that thing in the League of Ireland, particularly in Dublin.
Yes,
I know there's like Longford and Sligo that play the odd Saturday, but I don't know how it would be received if the league started staggering games on Saturday evening, Sunday evening, etc.
There was talk about that a lot, in the early part of Watch LOI during COVID. Like, there was great reception because no one could go to a game. I think, and it's been said by the FEI league department, and I would agree largely, Friday night games are fantastic.
But for, personally, I do really, the last couple of weeks, I really enjoyed the fact there has been games on a Sunday.
That mixes it up. That just mixes it up. If Friday night is League of Ireland night,
yeah,
I think one of the things, you know, and I go back to when it was said to Declan McBennett of RTE Sport, oh, you were offered a game and you didn't want to take it. People are traumatized by watching football on telly this year. You know, lads, like, there's probably way more lads that are staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch two teams they never heard of on for the World Cup. You know, it's just a lot of football. It's just a lot of stuff on the telly. And, you know, it's tough to be like, jeez, oh, I need to be bursting myself back to watch, you know, Waterford at 2 o'clock on a Sunday. No, I don't want to do that. Do you know what I mean? It's not just that handy. You know, there's probably been...
I suppose just to get back to the point of the conversation, though, are you worried at all that things are just dropping off that wee bit?
I think what we've rode the crest of, you know, coming out of COVID. We have a product. We're showing it now. We could talk about it. Teams are achieving stuff in Europe. There's Duffer. There's a race going on. Two teams barely able to, or three or four teams or whatever, the year Shells won it, barely able to kick it out of their way. And then Shells fell over the line. That was still good. That was still a bit of excitement. What team is going to make up bags of it tonight? We have kind of like progressed out of that. And the question I would ask is there any like material benefit that we've seen? Two clubs in Europe, group competition, that would be a benefit. 3 million government funding to
the academies,
academy, which is, you know, something that is going to bear fruit, hopefully, in 15 to 20 years' time. If Ireland had got into the World Cup, I think every League of Ireland ground would have been bursting at the seams. I think those things, I think there was just a bit, there is a bit of deflation in general, I think. Excuse me. But I think what needs to be done now is like, what's the next phase of stuff that we can do to like tip up the league? I know Daily Mount, you know, every time Daily Mount is even said by any human being in the state, the price goes up. You know what I mean? Like, I think they've done two reductions in what they're getting for an extra 20 million over since it was announced. Whereas, like, you know, you see, you know, a 10,000 seat stadium built in Norway for 20 grand or 20 million. And we're talking about 80 million for Daily Mount. That'll just be not have half the stuff that was initially talked about. I do think there are, I don't really know what the next phase would be. I do think there has to be some type of attention drawn to the state of some of the grounds.
Yeah.
And it's easy to say that the grounds need to improve, but like,
but yeah, we're saying that 15, 20, we're saying that as long as we started this podcast. So
just one final thing. You mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. There was no toilet roll in some ground that you were
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
You know, that's unacceptable. You know, we need to have nice facilities for people that attend the games, while also like making sure people don't destroy those facilities at the same time. So there's definitely a balance to be brought. But I do think, you know, you're taking, you know, like let's say Talca Park is a dump. You know, let's be honest about it. You know, Daly Mount is a dump. It's getting looked at now. Great. Richmond Park, not much better.
I like Richmond. I have very different views on you to Richmond, but anyway, that's okay.
Yeah, it's still a dump though. You know, you like it. Like I like Richmond Park myself, but it's a dump. Oriel Park, the same. United are Drogheda, United Park, Heading the Game Park, dump. So like, you know, but they've been dumps for 25 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, eventually the time comes where we're just
the time the time has come. The time came.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years ago. We didn't have a pot to piss in. Now we have nothing but money. Do you know what I mean? If I needed a grant for an igloo, I'd get one. Surely to God, something can be done. And also, last thing is, it's not all the government's responsibility to pay for Jesus everything. But like, you know, can we do something a bit cleverer? You know, I don't know what that is, but like, you know, smarter people out there than me that might have a better fist of it than I can say.
I suppose just a final word on the attendance as well. I think there's been talk that, you know, away attendance has really dropped. But like, I know myself, I have cut back on away matches simply because of the cost involved. I mean, the price of...
Why you didn't mind going down to Tala there the other night?
Well, she drove, so that was all right. The price of fuel is cat, obviously. Everything's more expensive, so I think that's definitely had an impact on away attendances as well. So,
One other thing that you mentioned, like buses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's apart from the cost of it, it's just hard to get drivers to drive the blading thing. Like, I heard from someone there a few weeks ago about like the driver doesn't want to get home at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, the money isn't.
I heard that recently from someone that organizes fan buses can't get drivers to do nighttime shifts. So,
yeah.
And if they can, it's a bag load extra.
It's a bag load extra. And like, you know, there's no bottles of water on this bus, which is fair enough. You know, you don't want the thing destroyed and then get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, clean out, you know, bring another load of people somewhere else. So yeah, it is difficult. And, you know, it's just part of everything being mentally expensive in this place.
Yeah. Look, we've obviously spent a lot of time there at the top of the show talking about some very important topics. So we'll just fly through what's happened in the league over the last little while. Derry City 2, Sligo Rovers 0, Galway United 0, Drogheda 0. Rovers 3,
I was just driving back from Athlone and I actually came across Drogheda lad, and he was at the petrol station. I was like, I forgot that they were playing Galway. And I was like, how'd you get on tonight? And he's like, oh, shite. He was depressed. He was just like, oh God, I still have another like hour and a half to go home. And he was just like, oh shit. But yeah, that was it.
You should have pointed him in the direction of the pod. It might have made his journey easier. Rovers 3, Dundalk 2, very enjoyable game. The level of defending from both teams was horrific. Dundalk, they're playing really well, but if they continue to give away the goals they're giving away, then their season is going to fizzle out, unfortunately. But they're playing really, really good stuff. And look, Rovers, I didn't think they were far from at their best. Made a lot of changes. It was almost an unrecognisable Rovers 11, but they still find a way to get it done. So you have to admire that about Rovers, really. Waterford 3, Bowes 1, Shells 1, Pats 2. They were both on Sunday. brilliant result for Waterford. That resurgence continues under Graham Coughlan. They're actually out of the bottom two now. Drogheda have dropped into ninth. So yeah. I'll get your thoughts on that.
I saw a post some lad put up in the last 10 games, Waterford are second in the form table.
Yeah.
Sensational stuff.
Unbelievable. And then Shells 1, Pats 2. So important result for Pats there. Stephen Kenny quite animated after, made some comments about... Again, I should have wrote the quotes down, I suppose, and have them ready to go. But he was kind of saying, you know, oh, there's a few people that have old scores to settle and they've kind of been chirping up of late about some of the results, etc.
Like who?
I don't know who he was aiming at in particular, but he obviously feels they're being unfairly criticised. Now, I did kind of briefly raise that point. You weren't having it with me last week when I said, you know, are they being unfairly judged a little bit? But... is there anything else that stands out? I suppose just on the relegation situation, Waterford out of the bottom two now. I think most people expect them to stay outside of the bottom two. Sligo, yeah. You said last week on the show you think they're pretty much cooked. Drogheda, can they get themselves out of that ninth? Galway's only 2 points up the road. Derry are only 5 points outside the relegation zone.
I think it's definitely between Galway and Drogheda. I think you mentioned the goal scoring issues for Drogheda. Wasn't there a game a few weeks ago where like they had like 300 chances and still lost or something? Like, was it against Bowes a few weeks ago?
Yeah, Bowes a good while back. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like, yeah, that's a great story. You know, it's like, you know, we're really on it. You know, but it. I'm not saying it's the same level, but it reminds me of Tiernan Lynch. Oh, we had a great training this week.
Mm.
You know, these are all hard luck stories. Yeah. And like, you know, no one will be listening to the hard luck story when you didn't win a game that you had like a bajillion chances in and you didn't win it when you had the opportunities to win it.
Mm.
That could be bad news for Drogheda, I think.
Yeah, I was very worried before the Louth derby that they were in huge trouble. I had said that to you. I texted you at half time in that game when they're 1-0 down. I said, lad, I think these are gone. And obviously they got a win that night. And I think they've gone unbeaten since then. Could be unbeaten in three or four games, but obviously a lot of draws. But I have been worried about this draw of the team for a lot of the season. And I think I'll probably stick to my prediction that they're going to finish ninth.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with you there. I think, though, they will have enough. I don't know who...
Oh, they should, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So it's not the worst, but it's not ideal finishing in ninth.
You know? And obviously, with it being a one-off game, you don't know. You could get done. Over two legs, you'd have absolutely no fear about them staying up. But one leg does balance.
Oh, it adds it in, yeah.
Right, guys, we'll move on to the first division results. Cork City 3, Kerry FC 1... Only late goals on Dunkerry there. They're good. Another good effort. They'll take plenty of encouragement from that. UCD 4, Wexford 1, 2 inconsistent teams at the moment, but particularly Wexford have been all season. Athlone 2, Longford 1. That was a surprise as we touched on. Bray Wanderers 5, Finn Harps 0. I think I had said last week we'd fear a cricket score for Harps again, and unfortunately that's what played out. And then Cove and Ramblers.
Another sending off in that game.
Yeah, terrible. Cove Ramblers 2. Treaty United 0. So just give us a few bullet points on each of them because we are running a bit over time this week.
Ah, yeah. Well, like, I don't think there's probably the biggest surprise was probably the Athlone Town El Clasico result. I don't think Longford Town played that badly, just couldn't really get it going in the final third. Got a goal back with about 15 minutes left and push, but just couldn't get that going.
Always seemed to struggle over there. I don't know, is it the pitch or what, but never really seemed to play well in that loan.
Well, they did at the end of last season, 1-2-1 in that game. I think it was the last game of the season, and they dominated that game. But I don't think there's really much to be worried about from a Longford perspective. Like, they're still in fourth place on goal difference. Mm-hmm. Really achieving quite well and can look, you know, into the game at the weekend with a lot of positivity.
Yep,
I think no real surprise that Bray filled in Harps. Another very poor result for Harps. But, you know, I know you were talking to McElhenney last week and don't think there's really much looking at this season.
Oh, he's got a massive job in his hands.
If he stays on, yes. Mm. I think the you already highlighted Kerry. They did quite well and just probably ran out of steam coming towards the end of the game. It took two goals. Well, it took three goals in the last 15 minutes to turn it around.
That's not the first time that's happened to them against Cork. Cork always seem to get a late flurry of goals against them.
Yeah, well, they did them in Tralee earlier on this season, which was, a 1-0 win. So Cork didn't get it going that night. But that was their bad weekend. That was they lost two games on that bank holiday. Really poor weekend for them. I don't think there's that much of a surprise either with UCD and Wexford.
Not really. Wexford, UCD hadn't been in fantastic form, but they seem to have recovered a bit. But Wexford have been disappointing this season.
Yeah, they have. I think with the bunching up of the teams, you know, if, you know, it could have, like, Longford could have been quite, if they had won that game on Friday, I know, you know, if Longford had won all their games this season, they'd be top of the table. But, I think Longford Town are more looking up at this point. But I know, like, we mentioned Kerry and Wexford, a couple of games that go their way. They're right up there and they're up the arse of Longford Town and Cove. So,
I think if you had said at the start of the season that Wexford will be behind Longford, Kerry and Cove, I know Cove had a great season last season, but the players they lost, I think if you'd said you'd be behind all three of those teams, you'd be scratching your head as to what's gone on. So I think it's been a very poor season for Wexford, but they are still in the fight for the playoffs. Right, obviously it's Cup weekend, so let's take a look. It's the last 16 of the FAI Cup. We're going to play the BTS Predictions League. We're only going to do, as we always do, we're only going to do the League of Ireland ties. So let's see who wants to play this week. In
what about last week?
Oh, yes, last week. Let's have a look. Thanks as ever to our loyal listener, Carol Kelly, for keeping on top of this for us. So last week, I think we had a first here, Gary.
Came out top?
No.
All right, okay. Oh, jeez.
Not just that dramatic, but Cian Kenny was playing last week for the listeners. I think we said he was either a Galway or Sligo fan, one or the other, can't remember. He got no points.
Oh,
a complete wipeout from Cian last week. So he really let the listeners down.
Jesus, that is tough now.
So that makes me feel a bit better about my modest score of 3 points. That was three correct results, no correct scores. And you got no correct scores either, but you did get five correct results.
Top of the table again. What's that, 15 or 20 weeks in a row?
Top of the table.
Yeah.
Must be in around that cut, all right. Latest league table is Gary on 162, listeners on 120, I am on 108.
Jesus, that is bad.
It is bad. Yeah, at least I've broke the 100-point mark anyway. Let's see who is going to play this week for us. Let me see, can I get a fresh name here? I'll tell you what, let's have a look, who does this man support? I wish people would put in their bio who they support. Since they're having a real bad time of things, we're going to go with Shane Bell, a Finn Harps fan. And we will start with, I think there's some interesting cup ties, actually, Gary. UCD against Derry is where we'll start. A lot going on at Derry. This is a potential banana skin for sure.
Yeah, highlighted it towards the start of the pod. Derry or UCD with a good win the other night, bagging in four is no harm done. Surely Derry can't get involved with making up bags of this. Like, I might go to this game.
Oh, you can do McLean watch for us.
I can. Come on, the pod, lad. He'd probably loathe me if he listens to the pod. He hears everything, this fella. You know, some lad puts a comment on somewhere and next year he's right in on top of you. If he was as in on top of his opponent, he mightn't have had such a bad season.
Luckily, Wrexham aren't playing on Friday, so he might watch Derry.
Oh, right. That'd be nice. Oh, well, that was it. Didn't he put up a picture of him watching Wrexham instead of his own team?
Yeah, last Friday. While he was on his supposed social media ban.
Right. Okay. look, I go for Derry in normal time. You know, but no need to. You know, they have to just go and do some of these things, and this is going to be one of them.
Score?
2-0 Derry.
Okay, Shane's gone 2-1 to Derry. I'll follow him 2-1 to Derry. Galway against Bray. Bray with that big win the other night against Finn Harps. They're flying, and I know they had that little blip there where they lost back to back games, took a hammering off Kerry, and then they lost two games in a row recently, but they've bounced back since and look second in the table. They're having a great campaign.
Yeah.
The concern here is, and I know we've got a comment in the hotline from Owen, who usually gives us comment on running commentary on Bray every week. Fair play to him, but their away form is fairly dismal. They've only won 3 away games all season. So I think if this was in the Carlisle, they would really fancy their chances. I think with it being away from home, Galway will just have too much for them.
And the physicality difference.
I think. I think it could be tight going into the last 15, and I think Galway will kick on then.
Yeah, 2-0 Galway.
Going to follow Shane again and go 2-1 to Galway. Waterford against Athlone. I think this will be, aside from the two games that we've excluded from the predictions league, Dundalk, a home to our old pals Castlebar, and Drogheda going down to Cork to play College Corinthians. I think Dundalk could absolutely annihilate poor old Castlebar, and I'd say Drogheda will win handy enough as well. But I think excluding them two games, I think Athlone are in real danger of taking a proper pace in here if Waterford don't rotate too much, don't take their foot off the gas. And I don't think they will, because they've got the revs up now, they've got the momentum, keep the good feel going. I think they will absolutely annihilate this Athlone team.
I do as well. I'm going to go 5-0 to Waterford.
I'll go one better. I'll go 6. Shane's going 2-0 to Waterford. Now, that's going to be a one-sided cup type, it looks things, but I think this other game in the showgrounds could be very, very tasty. Sligo Rovers against Kerry. They renew their FAI rivalry. No John Russell, thankfully. That's a positive for Sligo here, given his history against Kerry. But do you think Kerry can go down there and cause an upset?
Kerry have been much harder to beat this season. Doing well in the first division. Give Cork a bit of a game the other night.
Yeah. Knock shells out in the previous round, of course.
Why not?
Sligo have a rotten record against first division teams.
They do. They've been knocked out a good time,
Longford twice, think Wexford knocked them out, did UCD knock them out as well? Yeah, they've a horrendous record against first division teams. Again, if you look at, I'm just actually going to see, can I get the table up here for the first division? Nearly every team in the first division, their away form is dire. But Kerry of late have had so Kerry, 14 matches played away from home, have only got 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, UCD have played 13 matches away from home, have only got 15 points, and that's the second best in the division.
Who's the best, Cork?
Cork, obviously, 27 points from 13 played. But like UCD, as I said, are second there. They're level on points with Cove in terms of away form. UCD have scored 18 and conceded 19. That is the second best record. Like Cove have scored 11 away from home and conceded 25. That's the third best. Longford have the fourth best. This is the Longford team that not that long ago couldn't buy a win away from home. But the point I was going to make, Kerry have had a couple of good results on the road there recently. They went to UCD and won. They went to Bray and hammered them. They drew away to Wexford and they put it up to Cork the other night. So they're starting to show a bit more of a maturity on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Shane reckons there could be upset. He's going 2-1 Kerry.
I'm going Kerry on pens again.
Ooh, I think it will go. I'm going to go 1-1 in the 90. And okay. I'm going to go with Sligo to prevail in extra time.
Bit of extra fitness, bit of extra brain. Yeah, fair enough. So I'll go...
you're going to go Kerry pens.
1-1 all the way up to pens.
Okay, and Kerry on pens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we've got the tie of the round on Sunday. That's Pats against Rovers. Shane is going for a Rovers win on pens. Now, he had the option to give us a goal score there for a bonus point. He hasn't done it, so you can throw in your goal score for us. But I would be thinking similar to Shane that this could go deep into the night at at Richmond Park? Live on RT. So I think the old curse might return here.
Oh, a shite game.
Yeah, I think it'll just be a very, very tight game, very cagey. No, neither team will want to lose. But with Rovers coming out of Europe, I think Pats have to go and do it here. I think they have to show that, you know, they've got a win. They've lost their last three against Rovers. This is the best opportunity they've had against, you know, what you think will be a rotating Rovers team. I think they have to go and do it by hook or by crook. I think they will do it in extra time.
Who's your goal scorer?
I'll go 1-0 Pats extra time, and I'll go with Forrester. Good to see him back on the pitch. Good to see that.
Yeah, he had a bit of an illness, wasn't it, there? Yeah. You mentioned, yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing for me, and I'd be leaning Pats for this simply because of not enough to play for. You know, league's over, like. You know, looking at the table here, Pats are 7 points behind, same number of games played. I don't see Rovers dropping enough of points here, so I think Pats need to do it.
Yeah.
I think that pressure might be helpful. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win in normal time.
Okay.
Pats.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Edmondson to score.
Very good. And that brings us then to the final game of the Cup weekend, and that's at Dalymount Park, Sunday night, 7 o'clock. It's a bit late, I have to say, but we'll not complain.
Oh, will you get going to this one?
I'll get going to this one. I'll see you there.
Oh, great. That's nice.
Bo's, well, she's going to return the favour. I escorted her to Tala, and she's going to come with me to Dalymount, so I think that's fair. That's how married life works. So Bo's against Longford Town. Last time Longford were here for a cup tie, I think it was 2019. 1-1. Longford lost on penalties, but played extremely well on the day. And Longford have shown an ability to raise their game for these sort of ties in the last few years. Played very well in Tala last season, took Rovers 2 penalties to get by Longford. Very unlucky, probably, to lose to Pats at home a few years ago. We mentioned the history of beating Sligo a couple of times. So Longford have often raised their game when it's come to taking on Premier Division teams. And this will be a Bo's team coming out of Europe as well. Paddy Madden signing today, by the way, for Bo's. Give me your thoughts on that before we get stuck in.
I forgot I even played for Bo's back then. Like, they're really running out of lads that they can get back. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, you love that old getting the band back together.
Yeah. Pointless.
It's only until the end of the season. What's there to lose?
Yeah, you know, they tried that with...
If Podge Ammon can do it, why can't Paddy Madden do it? Had a brilliant career in the UK.
Yeah, and fair enough. You know, you could extend that question out to our main man, James McLean. Why can't he do
it? I think it's easier for a striker. I think if you look back at the last few years, you look at players like Damien Duff coming home, Delaney, obviously. I think the further they are back...
Delaney's remembered for one thing and one thing only when he came back.
The own goal.
Yeah.
This is the point I'm making. Players that have come back that have been midfielders, defenders, hasn't really worked out for them. I think the strikers, you never lose that, you know, fox in the box, right place, right time. I think you can get away with it even if the legs are going a bit. So I think it's a clever signing.
I don't.
Douglas James Taylor not pulling up any trees there. I think Whelan needs a bit of support. I think having someone like Madden can only be a good thing.
Fair enough, yeah, that's okay.
Is he eligible to play Sunday? I'd imagine he is.
Oh, probably, yeah. He's not cup played, like.
Don't be surprised if he gets the winner on Sunday.
Ah, great, yeah. Thank you, Paddy, for scoring against Longford Town. I love it. Jesus, lad. So what are you going on Sunday for Longford against Bo?
I think Longford will make a real fist of this. I think they'll give them a proper game. It's a lot of quality in that Bo's squad, though. And obviously, they have home advantage. I'm going to go 2-1 to Bo's in extra time. But I think Longford... I actually think Longford have a good chance of causing an upset here.
So do I. I know I said a few weeks ago that I knew Longford Town would beat Cork away from home. And... I was on to you on like the Monday. I was like, oh, no doubt in my mind, man. You're gonna be raging to miss this. But I think Dundalk were playing that night, so yeah, go to that instead. I do believe Longford. You mentioned that Longford Town have upped their game against
Premier teams,
Premier opposition. You look back at last season. You mentioned the game in Tala. It took two penalties, but also took emptying the bench.
Yeah,
if you remember, I think at one point Dylan Watts,
Burke,
Graham Burke, and the other lad that played for Bowes, Grant, all came on at one time.
Yeah, had to hit you.
Fuck this, so obviously that was a bit of a tough one. I think Longford Town, the added support of Bowes being away from home, they're not out of that tie just yet. So they'll have to get over and back. It's only Denmark. Pity they weren't in Kazakhstan or something like that to add to the grief. But I think they're still a fully professional outfit, third in the Premier Division. But I think Longford can perform an upset here. I'm going to go 2-1 to the Town after extra time.
Very good. And Shane's going for 2-0 win to Bowes. So that's the...
That's another null pois coming here for the listeners.
So that is the predictions league. We usually follow this up now with the Bar One Betting charity bet, but there's actually no prices in just yet for those cup games on Sunday. So what we might do, guys, we'll might throw a bet up on the socials later in the week, perhaps.
Yep.
But as ever, thanks to Bar One Betting for their continued support of the show this season. That brings us to just the hotline before we go. So let's have a look. It's buried amongst a clatter of James McLean tweets here, no doubt. So let me just find the hotline. We've actually got a few different tweets up this week that I need to look at the responses for. Just while I'm finding that, I actually want to read out a comment from the Spotify comments last week. You'll remember we got a question in about if Waterford stay up, would it be the greatest comeback ever? And we were trying to think of, other comebacks. And I had mentioned a couple of near misses where Longford nearly stayed up in 07 and Athlone nearly stayed up under Keith Long, but we couldn't really think of one. And we did have a listener reply. That was Bernard JKD to say UCD getting 25 points in the last 3 months from nowhere a couple of decades ago ended up about sixth in the league. So before our time, but we did appreciate that reply all the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Wasn't there another Stato comment that we were looking for?
We were looking for the record for most consecutive games a player scored in.
Ah, yes.
Because Darren Murta had 5 games in a row. Now that came to an end on, and I was afraid as soon as we mentioned that would happen. But, few different shouts. I think there was mention, obviously, of Shawnee Maguire during his spell at Cork. I think he might have got 7 or 8, but somebody said Coughlin, and that would have escaped my mind, Ronan Coughlin, when he was banging them in for Waterford in the first division. Apparently he scored in maybe 8 or 9 games in a row as well, so...
Actually,
we didn't get a concrete answer, but there were a couple of suggestions that sound about right.
Just when I think of it, do you know who could be? There's 2 Cork players that I'm thinking of. Kevin Doyle. There's a really, really, really grainy video, like pure potato video stuff. But I think it was like loads of clips from Aircom League Weekly on TV3 of him just being like an absolute machine. Scoring goals, but I don't know if we're get goals in a row. But I will say one other man that just came to mind there, Dave Mooney, Cork City 08.
Yeah, he was on fire.
He should have been locked up with the stuff. I think he scored like 13 goals in like the first 10 games.
That was obviously a time where the league didn't get as much coverage as it did. And I remember that hot spell he was going through. I remember opening the Sun and there was like 2-page spreads on what he was doing at the time.
Yeah, he was insane that year. And that was around one of the many Cork financial troubles that they had. So I think he had to be sold mid-season.
Yeah. And I think he still won the Golden Boot.
Oh, was it that level? Jenny Mack.
He was close to winning. Just looking at Kevin Doyle's stats here, he didn't score, and there was a couple of times where he scored in consecutive games, like, or he scored, you know, maybe six in seven games or whatever, but he had a serious season there, Laurie, but he didn't score in too many consecutive games. He got 13 goals in 32 games in 04 before he moved to Reading.
All right, okay, maybe I'm definitely, I was more prolific than that, but
I'll just see quickly, can I get Dave Mooney here as well? Now, transfer market has been having a few issues over the last few days, but hopefully we might be able to find him. Here he is. Why is he now 41?
Some man. He's still playing for Lucan or Leixlip.
According to this, he's still playing for Lucan anyway. Right, let's have, so that, what you reckon that Cork City season?
08.
I just want to have a look at that Longford Town season. He got 19. I want to see.
19. Yeah. Oh, what a year that was.
Oh, jeez. The last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He scored in 6 consecutive games at one stage there. And then in that Cork City season, he got 15 goals in 22 league games.
Jesus.
6 games in a row he scored. 2 goals, 2 assists, 2 goals, 2 goals, goal. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was crazy. I remember the last game of the season. For some reason, there was like I remember being in the clubhouse in Flankair Park, as I was at the time, and just like, oh, maybe Mooney will stay. I remember vividly thinking, at least like he got like player of the season or whatever that night, and obviously it was all, you know, crying and everything. But yeah, I just remember, like, obviously he was like, oh, be moving on or whatever, like, yeah. He wasn't going to say, young player, 19 goals in a relegated team, golden boot winner, and we still had the cup to look forward to at that point, but yeah,
I remember when he left, I thought, geez, we'll never see a player like him again. And then Davey O'Sullivan came along. Who was better? Mooney obviously did it at a higher level.
Mooney did it at a higher level under a lot of strife.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it was a real schlag fest. But like, I know a lad who didn't have Sky Sports but ended up being a United fan, and that season when Ronaldo scored like the 45 goals or whatever it was, he used to be just following games of teletext, and like the screen had refreshed and it's just Ronaldo all the time. Ronaldo. And that's what Davey O'Sullivan was like for Longford Town.
Yeah.
When we were at those games, but like he was just an unstoppable machine. He could not stop scoring. Like, some of the goals were like real, like just fox in the box, like really good stuff, like striker work. But also, some of the goals are crazy. Like, how bangers. Did you do that? Bangers, yeah. And stuff.
Penalties, yeah, he had it all, didn't he?
Oh, he had it all, yeah. What a player. Actually, I know a lad that I think might be playing a bit of paddle.
Every fecker is playing paddle. Everyone's trying to rope me into it. At the minute, I'm like, no.
No, you can't do anything. No. But like, nah, your man was like, he's like, this fella is insane. Like, I think when he started playing it this year or something like that, he's already like bossing the whole thing.
I got to play in the Legends game a couple of years ago, and could not believe he was fitter then than he was when he was playing. I couldn't believe Shafi, outrageous.
Like, he was something else. But yeah, look, hard to. The contexts were so different. Do you know what I mean? Like, we Longford Town were on the rise again when he joined. It was actually his first game ever in a Longford shirt. Didn't see you there, actually.
What game was that?
It was a friendly against Bohemians in ITB, IT Blanchardstown. Okay. And little spy Roddy Collins was there.
Oh, no way.
But yeah, I remember, I'm not sure if he scored that day, but I remember he took a chance. I was like, this fella he's different gravy. He's going to do something here.
Well, it was probably his next game. I remember we played Bray in a friendly, and I remember the pace of him. He was always on the last shoulder of the defenders, and he got in a few times. And I don't know if he scored that day. He missed a good few chances, but I remember saying to someone, I said, your man is savage, whoever he is, but my only concern is we're going to be totally over-reliant on him.
Yeah.
I was like, all we did all day there was lump it over the top, and he just ran down and got it, like, and he didn't finish them, but he will finish them. And lo and behold, Donny went to score all them goals.
Yeah, it was class.
Anyway, look, let's get to the hotline. So,
Did we have a Friday night reaction tweet as well? I think we did. Let me just get that. Yeah, so here we go. This was the reaction to some of Friday night's results. Nathan O'Reilly, excellent first half for Kerry against Cork. Second half, we were poor. Disappointing to concede three goals at the end. Playoff charge is still on. It won't be an easy game for us at the Showgrounds on Saturday, but we have shown we can cause an upset in the Cup. David Relihan, Bradley played the press like a fiddle last night. All the coverage today about the tackle, and no mention about the fan attacking a player. There was nearly a national referendum on flares in February. You have to hand it to him anyway. I think you kind of touched on that. Pale Rider, great win for the Rams. Take a look at the sending off between 55 and 57 minutes. I didn't get a chance to do that, but a lot of talk about referees again this week. Owen, character limit isn't enough to describe watching Bray home and away performances. Not getting ahead, but beating a very bad side 5-0 in second gear is a good recovery. Finn Harps might literally shut up shop after this season's done, says another listener. Sean Kelleher, a game too far for Kerry with our small squad. Excellent first half, but just ran out of legs in the second. We've got someone saying a last-minute playoff push for Harps. Where is Kevin Zeffy, asked the GOAT 22. I was there the night he came on for his Sligo Rovers debut. And I don't know if we've seen much of him. Now, I remember after that game in Richmond, a lot of, you know, kind of when you've done co-commentary, obviously, with me, you're watching the game, but sometimes you're maybe not watching it as in the same perspective. If you're in the stands, you can miss things. I remember a lot of people online after that saying he didn't look fit. He didn't look like he was moving right. And I kind of was like, I was kind of semi-impressed with him when he came on. So I didn't read that. But no, I did remember a few fans saying he didn't look in great nick. So I don't know what's going on there. Simon Canning, Dundalk are a team of fighters, not lovers. Okay. Right into the other then with another
just on the Friday night I did pop up that sending off. Thank you for highlighting the time. I have absolutely no idea how that was even a foul.
Sorry, I did see it was a second yellow he got. It was over in the corner of the pitch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I did see it. Yeah, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Jesus Christ, that's diabolical. Imagine Bradley seeing that. Oh God.
Sam Daly at Waterford must be up there as one of the worst stints in the league's history. 10 of the 11 players the same, and we're second in the league over the last 10 games after no wins from 13 under Daly.
Yeah, really, a question has to be asked about what was going on there.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit if they stay up. Oh, you know, bad time. Who cares?
He just becomes an afterthought, really. You like this one. Aiden M. If Mr. Riley is going to the Cup game in Daly Mount, please let him know that the donor kebab tray from Dublin Kebab on Phibsborough Road, about a 5-minute walk from Daly Mount, is very decent.
Good to know. Now, I will say one thing. I have done it a couple of times from games that I was at in Daly Mount Park. Now, it is a bit of a shul. But there is, what's it called? Oh, I might have to try out that operation there. What's it called? It's on the way down to O'Connell Street. It's not Pasha. Oh, it is Pasha. Pasha Turkish Kebab. I haven't a clue what the name of the road is. Dorset Street, that's the one. I would highly recommend that. It is stepping into Turkey. I've never been to Turkey. I know you have, but like this place is, you know, they have the music videos on the wall blaring and, you know, everybody's a boss. So great receipt. But what's the name of that place there called?
It is Dublin Kebab on the Phibsborough Road.
Now, very good. Okay.
Get it in the Google Maps.
Get into Google Maps. Oh, just round the corner. Yeah. Okay, that could be, you know, well, look, I hope they're open late. Hope they're open around 5 o'clock in the morning after the celebrations that we'll be doing. But actually, I have been there before. So, yep.
Very good. We'll recap it next week, hopefully. While we're on the subject of food and kebabs, I did tip into Eddie Rockets.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Across from Talla Stadium. And I have to say, got done dirty. If you thought that feed we got in Cove that time was bad, this, I'm lucky to be alive. That was the worst feed I ever had. 0 out of 10 on the pod for Eddie Rockets.
Well, now, hold on a minute. there are great places around. You should have gone to Pirio's. No, there's a place.
Should have gone to the kebab place me and you went in
time. Baxter. Yeah. No, yeah. He's not running it anymore. There is a man called Baxter, right? This fella is, he's well known in Dublin kebab.
Oh,
circles.
You did say this. Yes, yes.
Yeah. He has another place, I think, up in Mulhullert, wherever that is, somewhere in Dublin. The Dub fans or the Dublin people that listen to this pod will know what I'm talking about. But this fella had, oh God, these are pros. These are different gravy altogether. But I did bring you to Baxo before.
You did. Top class.
Top class.
Yeah.
I brought a few special people in my life to that place. And
look, it's my own fault for going into Eddie Rockets. I got done there.
No, for anybody else that's knocking around the square, Pirio's, which is just across from the square, run by the Lewis stop, is fairly good as well.
Yeah, got done like a dog. It obviously isn't football related, but I was in the northern part of the country on Sunday into Nando's. I have to say it was top class. It did give me a chuckle.
These chains, lad, you have to go. It's kebabs. That's what we're about.
No, Nando's was 10 out of 10. But I was just thinking when I was sitting there. Do you remember about? I don't know. It must be 10. It was whenever kind of the League of Ireland got onto Twitter, so 15 years ago, whatever.
Right.
You couldn't go into a Nando's in Dublin without seeing a League of Ireland player.
All right.
Yeah, it was the place one time for League of Ireland players.
Oh, to bring their little.
And there was a saying. It was like beats Nando's baller. They all had the Beats earphones. League of Ireland. Yeah, that was the story. So
I don't remember that. I did see a few football. I had to go to Dundrum there to weekend. And returning some fucking shite clubber I got, and I saw Pico knocking around, and there's a few people. Oh my god! Oh, cheers, there's Pico. Didn't mention the pod to him though. I know he's a big fan though.
Yeah, I think that is it for this week. I'm just trying to see, was there any late contributions? No, that's us. Fairly long pod, but enjoyable as ever.
Enjoyable as ever, yeah. Well, look, hopefully I'll see you on Sunday at the
Dundalk are playing Saturday, so you're all right this time.
All right, where are they playing?
In Oriel. I won't get to it. I'm working.
Oh, geez, shock horror. Jeez, I'm flabbergasted at that. Well, look, if you find your way down to the Longford Town game, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, I'll see you in the mono.
See you in the mono. Yeah, please God.
Looking forward to it. Right, that was this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Huge thanks to everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. Do leave us a comment on the Spotify as well. Get in touch with us on Twitter. We're also on TikTok as well. But for this week, from Kieran Burke and Gary Riley, thanks for tuning in. Thanks from our sponsors, Quinn AV and Bar One Betting. We will see you again soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.